I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which means you're going to have some fun. We're going to be hanging out with the man himself, the Wayne Breezy. Wayne, how are we doing today, brother?
A lot better than I was on Sunday. Looking forward to it because it's Rams week, so I'm doing good as of right now.
That's what's up. And so this is going to be a fun show. Now, I've got a couple ways I want it to go, but I'm going to allow it to navigate to be whatever the faithful quote-unquote needs. So for our live audience, I just want to let you know you are the rudder of today's show. This is episode 1,214 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and I think Wade and I have done, man, we're up at like 200-plus shows together, man.
Like, good Lord.
We've been doing this show for like 4 years.
Wow. Has it been 4 years?
I think so. This is four.
This might be year four. Wow. Wow.
What a long time, man. And I just want to say thank you for everybody. 49ers throwback. Really appreciate you. He says, tuning in, faithful. Make sure y'all smash that button, the like button, the subscribe button. Go follow the Wayne Breezy everywhere, social media, whatever account there is. And look at Paul. I wanted to talk about Paul anyway. He was in my notes. The UK faithful.
They had fun this week, right?
Gosh. They had the great Frank Gore. Got to see Paul Hope on TV. He was put on like the official NFL Twitter account, tweeted out their party, which was just awesome. By far one of the best fan bases. We even had some UK people come out to the Rush road trip this weekend, which was cool. But shout out to those guys. We didn't get to win, but it's football and it's week two. And the 49ers are 1-1, like a majority of teams in the NFL. And you got to figure some stuff out. So we're going to be looking back. We're going to be looking forward. We're going to be trying to do a little bit of NFC West watch, trying to figure out all these things. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. Wayne is here to set the record straight. Has John Chapman gone too far with some of his takes and or feelings? You know, he's got the explosive plays up on his Patreon. He's been going through the tape. So Wayne, let's do this. I've got some reactions. And you're going to tell me, am I right? Am I crazy? Am I off? I want you to be honest. Wayne's always honest. He cannot not be honest. I think I said that incorrectly. All right. Here we go. Take number one. Through 2 weeks, this is an overreaction. I understand that. But I want to make sure we give credit to where credit is due and we give blame where blame is due.
For sure.
The best cornerback on the 49ers is D'Amador Lenore. Yes or no?
I want him to be. I thought week one, he wasn't the best out there. Charvarius Ward was the best. But in week two, he was the best out there, and Charvarius Ward wasn't the best. So pick your poison. Like, you know, I feel like they're neck and neck, you know, as far as being that number one corner as of this year. But both, you know, I don't know. This game was weird. This game was a weird game, and, you know, not to stray away from your take or your overreaction. But I think overall, like, D'Amador Lenore will end up being the best cornerback for the 49ers. But his week one's performance, he was overshooting a lot. He was over everything. He made a couple good tackles, but, you know, he was overzealous and overplaying and missed tackles. We had a lot of missed tackles in week one. We had 3 missed tackles in this game. We didn't have a lot of missed tackles in this game. Interesting, right? So he was the best corner in week two for sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like that. Okay. Here we go. The depth chart for the defensive tackles should be as following. Number 1, Malik Collins. Number 2, Jordan Elliott. Number 3, Kevin Givens. And number 4, Javon Hargrave.
Oh, man. I mean, are we talking about for run defense? Because run defense, it needs to be changed. Pass defense, I still want Hargrave out there. Jordan Elliott, I thought, had a better game week 2 than he did week 1. Kevin Givens was the number 1 run defender in week 2. So where are we and that's crazy because Malik Collins wasn't graded high in week 2. And you saw them gash us up the middle with Ty Chandler. So I'm confused. The order should be Hargrave, Collins, Elliott, Givens.
You'd still keep it the same way.
Absolutely.
My least favorite stat was we were in the fourth quarter and Brock Purdy had the same amount of tackles as Javon Hargrave. Mm-hmm. This guy's got 3 pressures, no quarterback hits, no anything, and like 41 pass rush snaps. Like, he's just not getting anything done. It's bothering me because the worst player on each offensive line we played in week 1 and week 2 is the left guard. And he's just a non-factor. Now, I put a lot of that in there to say, like, the amount of money he's being paid, that's rough. That's a rough one. But that's okay.
I mean, it's going to definitely draw the attention of people now if you're putting it out there like he's not producing. But he's out there, and eventually it will come. And remember, the pressures are going to happen. Like, we are rushing for it is what it is. We're not doing anything else. And they're getting the ball out of their hand quickly as well. So there are plays where guys drop back. I feel like we're stunting a lot. And I'm not sure if the stunts are what we need to be doing. I feel like the stunts need to be, like, splashed in there. Because the stunts in this particular game, in this particular matchup against the Vikings, called some big runs to the outside. And so, I don't know. Like, you were talking about Hargrave. I get it. But I think overall, as the front four, it hasn't been what I wanted it to be. Like, I don't even think our edge rushers are great at this point.
Yeah, it's Leonard Floyd had a good week 1, not great. Didn't have a good week 2 at all.
Exactly.
Bosa was good, but
right.
I did like having Yetur Gross-Matos back out there.
Yeah, but that could have been what hindered that extra piece to the rotation and him not being in practice could have been the reason why the defensive line was weird, right? So, like, he needed more time. It was good to have him out there, but it could have hindered the production from everybody else. It's just a weird thing. Like this is why, you know, when you don't practice, it can cause certain things to happen. Like, as far as rotation and knowing, you know, where you got to be, who you're playing with, building the chemistry, all that stuff. And that goes for everybody, like everybody.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like this comment. David says, missing DJ Jones like an ex-girlfriend. Man, it's DJ Jones was such a weird development, but when he hit that back end of year 2, year 3, it was just like, oh my gosh, it was perfect. I would argue he hasn't really been perfect since he left here either.
I was going to say that.
But I think he's missing us. His bank account ain't missing nothing, though. He hit that one, and yeah. I love that.
He got injured in the game this past weekend, too.
Yeah, I love DJ Jones. Look at J-Dog. I appreciate this, J-Dog. He says, yo, what up, John? My first game, first tailgate, all caps, best time of my life.
That's
it was
up.
An absolute pleasure hanging out, dude. J-Dog, I know he's on your show a lot. It was really cool. Like, because I always know the voice. I don't watch a lot of YouTube. I listen. Like, even whenever I'm on YouTube, like, I have the phone in my pocket or the phone, like, down, and I'll be typing or whatever. I don't watch it. And so whenever I saw J-Dog, I didn't recognize him. And then he started talking. I was like, oh. I know who this is. I know who this is. It was an absolute great time, man. We had such a good time out there in Minnesota. We did our job. We showed up as fans. We had 250 plus at the night before party, which was so cool. Tailgate was off the chain, man. And I got to say, I'll scream this from the mountaintops. The best place to watch an NFL football game is US Bank Stadium. It's not close.
That's what's
coolest
up.
Fans, stadiums. It snows there, Wayne. It snows in the stadium.
That's dope.
It's unbelievable.
Anyway. Did it snow this past time? This week?
Well, like they do the fake snow in the dome. And so whenever they're doing their Vikings poem,
so it
whatever,
looks like a snow globe.
It's snowing, man. It's like
that's pretty cool.
Or whatever. It's not like real snow, obviously. But it's just like, ooh, chills. I was just ready to run through a brick wall, man. But, you know, it's what it is. Okay, here we go. Let me ask you another one. Fred Warner is the best player on the 49ers.
I think Fred Warner right now is the best player in the NFL.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, that's where we're going with that one. The question is how long can he keep it up? And so, like, the good news out of that is that he's not overcompensating this year. He is just playing his role, and he's playing it to the T. And I'm talking about, like, superseding any expectations. Some people are just gifted with the ability to continue to grow talent-wise. I think the thing with Fred is it seems like he's getting more talented, but he's also getting wiser. He's also getting smarter. Like you can see it. Like, that interception was all Fred Warner. That wasn't schemed. It wasn't planned. It was Fred, depth of field. Remember we talked about Fred playing too shallow underneath and missing the over? Nah, he figured it out. Like, and so that's what I'm talking about. That's what experience gets you. When Fred talks about he's seen these quarterbacks, he's seen this, he's seen that, you can see that Fred is starting to have the answers in his little booklet, and he can start checking off stuff because he's seen different quarterbacks. So that was probably an interception that he got several times in practice on Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold just didn't think that Fred was going to drop back and pick that ball out of the air. That was amazing. That was actually one of the best plays I've seen in Fred Warner's career.
I immediately after the game, I said, this might be Fred Warner's best NFL game, which is crazy. He's had a lot of really good ones. And then whenever, you know, the press conference, shout out to Juan Salas for getting us this clip here. Whenever he was asked, like, what needs to change, it's almost exactly what you said. 49ers got to be smarter. You talked about the intelligence of Fred Warner and all those things. And so that's got to permeate the rest of the defense. Here's the clip.
It just hurt. It hurts my soul, honestly, because We knew exactly the type of game that it was going to be, what was going to be required for us to win this game. And I told the team in there, it's never going to be an issue of us playing hard. We always play hard. We got so much talent in that room. We're always going to play hard, but it's about playing smarter. You know, we gotta protect the football. Obviously, we got to take it away on defense. Special teams, we can't give up that block punt. And then defensively, you know, the game plan, when we say we got to stop the run and we got to be great on third down and we don't do either of those things, like, it's going to be a long day. Too many my bads, too many, man, I'll try to be better next time, and me included. Like, I'm thinking of the plays that I wanted back in this game. Like I said, we got to play more together as a team. We just got to do our job, play smarter football, and the rest will take care of itself because we are talented. We do play hard. We just got to play smarter.
Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So, I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews, it doesn't matter, that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSH, RUSH, at futurefans.com to get 10% off Unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh my gosh. Like, whenever a guy plays that good and comes out and says, it's on me too, that changes the tone in the locker room. It changes everything. And shout out to my man, Slick68. Appreciate the super chat. Frederick is definitely defensive player of the year so far in the NFL. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like I said, I think he's the best player right now in the NFL. And Nets with all the quarterbacks look like trash. And that's a cool word for them. They're not playing up to what we think they should. Not Josh Allen, not Patrick Mahomes, not none of those top tier quarterbacks. You know who's the best quarterback in the league right now, as far as stats?
Who?
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, isn't especially if he's leading in yards.
Leading yards, right? And so, like, you know, so like, I just, you know, Fred is just playing on another level. The question is. Who's going to enter that zone with Fred Warner? And that's the question. Which defense, like, and Fred is not old. So it's like,
no.
Which defensive player is going to enter that zone? Which offensive player is going to enter that zone? Fred's in another, he's on another stratosphere. And we need the rest of the team, especially on the road, right? Because that's where you got to grit it out. Like at home, things kind of go your way a little bit. It's your home. You know the turf. You know the field. You know it. You got the fans there. It's just a little different vibe. But when you're on the road, you got to create the vibe. Fred's willing to create the vibe. The question is, who's willing to create the vibe with him? And there's a lot of mistakes in this pass game. And so, like, that's why he was saying they need to be smarter. It was poor communication. Defensively, the offense was terrible. But defensively, they played a good game. There were plays where they just miscommunicated too many times in a row. And that is why they lost. Like, I'm telling you, like, that right there is a big reason why they lost this game.
Yeah, it hurts. Now, here's what's crazy. Do you know the last off-the-ball linebacker that won the defensive player of the year? It almost always goes to an edge, sometimes a corner.
Was it Patrick Willis?
No, Patrick Willis never won it. He never won it.
He never won it. Was it Luke Kuechly?
Luke Kuechly, 2013. The only reason why I know is because I looked it up before the show because I was curious. And so, yeah, Luke Kuechly, 2013. That's the thing. And, man, if you go to, like, over on my bookie right now, he's still – Fred Warner is, like, not even in the top 12 for defensive player of the year.
That's crazy.
He's plus 4,200.
That tells you, like people aren't watching 49er football yet. That's what that means.
If you put $5 down on Fred Warner to win defensive player of the year,
now is the time, right? I'm starting to understand this.
You get 210 back. You get 210 back.
Yeah, it's the right now is the time because it's low, right? Like, he's not in the top yet.
I don't know why. Listen to all the players ahead of him. Okay, Aiden Hutchinson, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, Nick Bosa is ahead of him.
Aiden Hutchinson had like 5 sacks last week, bro.
Yeah, he was awesome. Khalil Mack, Will Anderson. Josh Allen, Daniil Hunter, all those guys are ahead of him.
It's a linebacker thing, though. There's no other linebackers on this list.
No.
I mean, as far as inside linebackers, I'm sorry, because
Roquan Smith is the next, and he's at plus 8,500. Warner's plus 4,200.
Yeah.
So if you guys are one of those people that likes those long shot bets or whatever, like, good Lord, if Fred continues to play this way the whole season, he'll win that damn award. He already has the respect of everybody.
I think Fred's going to lead the team in interceptions. So
you said that before the season.
I said that before the season. So one is in his books. He's already leading the league in forced fumbles.
Gosh.
We didn't even talk about that. So my thing is this, though. Fred is on another planet. Who's going to that planet with Fred? Somebody got to get on the ship.
I think Nick Bosa's close. He's close. Nick
on a different planet. So, like, you could tell they on different planets, but the planet Nick is on is how it can be effective. I got to ask this question, bro.
Oh.
This is a tough question. I feel like it's going to be a tough answer for you to answer. But why does Nick Bosa, why doesn't he seem like a dominant pass rusher in the NFL? Because I'm watching Aiden Hutchinson, and I'm like, damn. Like, he just gets home. I'm watching these other edge rushers. They just get home. Don't give me the Nick Bosa being held. I don't want to hear the double T. I don't want to hear none of that. I know that's part of it, but come on. There's plenty of times where he's not. Is it scheme? Is it Bosa? What's going on? Like, why doesn't Bosa seem like the household name? Like, I feel like Joey Bosa is more of a household name than Nick Bosa.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think our scheme's a little bit different. We don't just let our guys shoot upfield like T.J. Watt, like Aiden Hutchinson. We occupy our blockers so that our backers can flow. But you are correct. Now, you know, he went out there, Aiden Hutchinson had 4.5 sacks against Tampa Bay. It's pretty impressive. They got some good tackles over there. I don't know. I don't know. But if you ask me, like, if you had 2 sacks a game like Bosa had, you're breaking the NFL record for all-time sacks. Like, it's not like he had a bad game. He just didn't have that all-world game.
I'm just talking about all around. Like, Nick Bosa's rookie year, he looked like he was about to be the phenom edge pass rusher of the NFL. And then he got injured. Okay? Let's just keep it a buck. And ever since then, even though he won Defensive Player of the Year coming off the injury, it just seemed like Bosa doesn't possess... I don't know if his scheme doesn't possess the same flash as these other guys. Like, when you look at Myles Garrett is going to be Defensive Player of the Year candidate every year.
When
you look at T.J. Watt, he's going to be a Defensive Player candidate every year. Why is Nick Bosa not a Defensive Player candidate every year? That's my question.
Well, I mean, he's pretty high on the list. He's top 6. He's right. Him and Myles Garrett have basically the same odds.
But that's this year. I'm just saying every year. Like, I feel like Nick Bosa should be defensive player candidate every single year because he's that much of a force. So I'm not taking a shot at Bosa. I'm just saying, what does he have to do to prove he can stand out over these other guys that are up and coming? Like, the newest guy is going to be Aiden Hutchinson. He's the young pup on that list. And then Micah Parsons. But Micah gets way more attention than any of these guys we were talking about. For what? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why, especially whenever they just got, like, steamrolled.
Yeah, I like that.
That's, like, relatively normal for the Dallas defense. But I'll say this, too, and I think that this is important. Aiden Hutchinson has been a below-average run defender his entire career. Like, he's not good against the run. Nick Bosa is great. That's not sexy. That's not going to help Defensive Player of the Year. Bosa's way better against the run than Aiden Hutchins could ever be. Like, but they play a different set of, you know, they've got what's his name over there, the defensive coordinator for the Lions. They just shoot up field. It's a different scheme. But you are right. 4.5 sacks is 4.5 sacks. You can't argue against that.
It's not a shot at Bosa, guys. It's something that I noticed. And I do know he's game planned against, but he's game plan four, but so are the other guys, and they just seem to get hit home. I don't know. It is what it is.
This is an awesome conversation, man.
And I don't, wait. Bolts is right, and I think he does worry about his overall game. You know what I'm saying? But he's paid to be a pass rusher, right? He's played to disrupt the pass, and you can tell he's trying to get at that pass. He's trying to get at that quarterback because when they stun it, he wasn't giving 2 flying beeps about the run. Because he got caught up in the middle. Now I'll talk about the Minnesota game. I'm going to talk about where Bosa struggled. It was on the stunts. He got too far in on the stunt. And then whoever responsibility was to take care of the outside was just like, gone, lost. So, yeah, Bosa can stunt, but if he's going to stunt, he's got to find a way to win. Like, you know what I mean? That's the whole purpose, to get the one-on-one matchup, not to run into the stunt and get doubled again. So, like, Bosa's got to – if they're going to do these new things, Bosa's got to still find a way. Because we didn't see that, and maybe the scheme is different, like you said. Rookie year, Bosa went off. And you don't give me that D4 crap. Rookie year, the league couldn't figure out Bosa. I don't even remember him being held. He probably was held on every play, but it didn't matter. Mm. Bosa was Bosa. Bosa was like, that's where he got the bear term. Like, he was a bear.
Just some PFF stuff to kind of back up what you're putting out there. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. He's currently eighth in pass rush win rate in the NFL.
Good.
He's got 8 total pressures, which puts him, man, about 16th. He's tied for 16th with Max Crosby, you know, with a lot of those other guys that you've talked about.
Which you expect, right? Because you expect him to be double chipped. Okay, so I get it. Like, I'm not saying he's bad or anything. I just feel like it's just weird how he's not super dominant like these other guys we see, and we know he's better than them. I'll take Nick Bosa over Myles Garrett any day. I'll take Nick Bosa over Max Crosby any day. I'll take Nick Bosa over any of these guys we're talking about. Maybe not TJ Watt. But I don't know if TJ Watt could play in a 4-3. I really don't.
I don't think so. There you go. He probably could if you just let him pass rush. You let him play like Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
And so, again, I'll go back to this. Like, okay, if you look at the overall PFF scores, this is not the end all be all. Like, Fred Warner has a 95.8. He's currently the highest rated player in the NFL, regardless of position, regardless of team. Number one, period, right? Nick Bosa's got a 90 even score, which is all pro level PFF. And again, the run quality that he puts out there is kind of the secret sauce that is Nick Bosa. It's not sexy. And man, I appreciate Sonia, your comment here. She says, you know, I think Bosa set a bar. We want to keep him up there. We were as close to that 20 sack season. That's what we want. Let's see here. He's averaging 1 sack a game, 17 games.
He might get 20 sacks. All I'm saying is, mentality wise, right? I need Bosa to get back into bear mode, or whatever mode it was, where he didn't give 2 flying F's about a holding call. He didn't cry. He was just pure, unadulterated, dominant. On the football, like, he was Nick Bosa. I feel like that Nick Bosa is a little different. Maybe he's more mature. Maybe he doesn't care, like you said. But if Nick Bosa gets back to that other mentality, it's going to be tough to stop, because the Niners pass rush is boring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well said. And that's crazy whenever you've got 20-plus million-dollar players on there.
Bro, it's just boring as hell. And when you watch Sam Darnold kind of
just chill, but I told you it's top 3 O-line too. Like, I knew, like, we weren't going to be hitting Darnold a lot less.
You
we
said
blitzed.
That you called him out. You did. Yeah. But still,
we didn't
damn,
win.
Damn, how you don't get to Sam Darnold on the goal line?
Yeah. He was just chilling back there, man. Thomas, I love this. And I agree with this. I think this is huge. Thomas says Bosa needs a moment, a game-winning sack, crucial strip sack, batting the ball, just needs to have like that moment that's a game-winning situation. We haven't had that.
Thomas, can I just tell you thank you?
He knows what he's talking about, man.
Well, it's just because sometimes I keep stuff to myself, and it's always
cool. Do
you?
I don't think you do.
No, I do sometimes. Like, I be having these conversations with myself. I be like, self, Why Nick look different? You know what I'm saying? And I don't say it because I know it'll piss off everybody. But I couldn't hold it in because you set me up to say it. And then now, Thomas, I feel like I'm not the only one that feels this way. Now I feel validated, relieved. And it's not here he's playing. We not one of us came out here and said Nick Bosa's bad. I hope that doesn't get to Nick Bosa as the message. We just said that he doesn't seem as dominant as these other dudes. And I don't know if it's like when we play teams, the first person on that sheet they're checking to take off is Nick Bosa. When other teams play Myles Garrett, they just one up him. Hey man, if he beat you, he beat you. If What do you mean if he beat? He's going to beat one-on-one. It's just like, but not Nick Bosa. It's a double. It's a chip. It's two chips, three chips, a bag of chips. It's chips, doubles. Bosa's got to run underneath guys. It's like, damn, by the time he finished the game, he tired.
Yeah, yeah.
They game plan for Bosa way different. And so I'm just hoping Bosa can figure out a way to redirect that, because he has to. I'm hoping he sees that they're coming at me differently than they do these other dudes. And maybe he needs one of those moments.
There we go. I like it. I like it. Now, we talked about betting. If you go to bet at any point this year, you guys know what you got to do.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right. Now, another issue that I want to talk about, I got to say, you know, credit to the great Steph Sanchez. She is amazing. 49ers on third down. There are a few key characteristics where turnovers, explosive plays. Nobody does better than that than Wayne Breezy. If you haven't supported him on his Patreon, go check it out. By far, one of the coolest things being put out there. And then also, third downs. What you do on third downs matters. Right now, the 49ers defense is 31st out of 32 teams at third down. There's only 32.
It's second to last. For those that don't know what 31 out of 32 means, they're dead last.
You know, hear it in the tone.
You know what's funny about this? They've been probably second to last for the past few seasons. It's something about third downs. We could go back to Robert Saleh. I'll never forget the third and like 37,450. And like, whoa, we're about to get this ball. They run a play, and we had just signed a DB. Because we had lost our nickelback. I can't remember his name.
What game was it?
I felt like it was against the Dolphins.
Oh, Brian Allen.
Gosh dang it, that's him.
Yeah, that's him. Have nightmares.
It was like third and 47. That was Akello
Witherspoon's fault. That was Akello Witherspoon's
fault. I don't care whose fault it was. Never. Third and 40, motherfucking seven. Ugh. And they gave it up. It was like third and 27. But still, that's like 47. Like, it's something. It's like the prevent defense is terrible. Stop preventing. You know what it is? Stop playing
scared
soft defense. Like, where's the aggression? Where is you're not getting this first down? I don't give a fuck what you do. You got to beat me, run me over to get this first down. And when they get into a third, here's the thing, right? When they get into a third and seven, John, what's the percentage of them throwing the ball? It's probably higher than them running the ball, right? It's third and seven. How do you not stop them on third and seven? Oh, I know. Your DBs are playing 19 yards off of the receivers, giving up the underneath route, boom, first down. Yep. Or your DBs aren't understanding their roles and responsibilities and no one's covering the flat and they get a first down. Or, like, I don't get it, but it's not just because of Nick Sorensen. It wasn't just because of any of the Steve Wilks, D'Amico Ryans, Robert Saleh. It's something about what the Niners are doing with the secondary on these third and long pass plays.
The philosophy is this. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just telling you this is the mindset behind in the post Vic Fangio schematic world that changed everything is, we don't mind if you convert a third and seven. Can you convert 3 third and sevens on this drive all in a row? And if you can, then you can score. So the philosophy, I'm not saying this is what they do. This is the mindset. So they say, look, you might be able to convert one, but you're going to have to do it three times. Well, Sam Darnold did that twice in the fourth quarter. And so, like,
He did it in the first quarter.
They don't want a 20-plus yard gain on third and seven.
Understood.
And I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
They limit the explosive plays. Right. The philosophy is Steve Wilks' philosophy. And it might have always been the philosophy, but Steve Wilks came out and said, limit the explosive plays and get turnovers. Like, that was his philosophy, right? And so maybe it's still that, but I'm sorry. It's third and seven. They got to beat me. Like, they got to beat me. They got to beat me one-on-one. I got to slip. They got to burn me. If they do that, I could live with it. I could live with a first down if a person get burnt. How many times when we had freaking Josh Norman, did they allow Josh Norman to get burnt? And now we just changed it up. So now it's different. Now we just play off and give up the first down and then, well, it didn't work.
I want Kyle to answer this. This is what Kyle said about the defenses on third down.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, they got us on third down. We had a couple opportunities to get off the field. Sam made a couple good throws, and they were good on third down all day. So we had our opportunities with those turnovers that they got, but he made some big plays, and it was tough after that.
Yep.
I was treating it tough. David, I was reading your comment. When we were listening to the clip, and I burst out laughing, he said, third down. Hold on. The third down where Darnold threw it to Naylor, or whatever his name is, that's his name, Jalen Naylor, is with three players. What are you doing? You could split two, because two, you could split them in halves. He split into thirds in the same zone. And he caught a first down. The pressure sucked. The throw was perfect. Coverage was terrible.
Yeah.
I can't figure out.
Cover three zone beater, man. That's the definition of the route.
And you know how you beat cover three zone? Speed. Yeah. Like, that's Naylor's what Naylor quick. Did. And he beat it, and they were lost in the sauce. And they're starting defenders or experienced defenders in the NFL. And maybe it was scheme. Or whatever, and this is not an overreaction show, so I don't even know what the hell is going on with my voice tones right now, but I'm getting flustered. The fact that you almost threw your remote through the TV is identical to me breaking this screen and I'm looking right in front of while I do this show.
I love it, man. I love it. It's frustrating. It's when we laugh, we cry. You know, it's funny. Breezy keeps bringing up all these old horrible times. It's like when somebody says something at the dinner table, they're not supposed to, and it gets awkward. Like, you brought up Brian Allen. You brought up Norman.
I had to, because these are the traumatic experiences that I feel like I'm starting to
and
relive.
We relive them. We relive those, and that's just part of life, you know? Oh,
it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. But you know what? No, you go.
If you overcome a traumatic experience, you do your hardest not to relive it. Now, there's going to be certain people that's going to probably bring that experience up by default, or some people do it on purpose. They try to get you to riled up or whatever, get in your head. Cool, I understand that. But my point is, you're supposed to learn from the traumatic experiences so that you don't continue to suffer through the traumatic experiences. Remember, we still can't stop the screen pass.
Wayne's on the brink, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not mad. I'm ready for the Rams. I'm ready for
the
Rams.
That's where I was going. So
I'm ready for the Rams. I'm not mad. I'm ready for the Rams.
Rams are always our get right game. Always. That's what it is. So let's transition. Let's do a little bit of NFC West watch. Let's just kind of re-encompass kind of what's going on. Seahawks are 2-0, and they played two very, very close games against two very, very bad teams. I don't think anybody considers the Denver Broncos or the New England Patriots to be a good team. But they won both those games, and that's what you have to do in the NFL is beat bad teams consistently, even if they're close. So they seem gritty. Seems like Geno Smith's playing some ball. I'm not too concerned. I am pumped about that Thursday Seattle game. That's our next 49ers Rush road trip game, which I can announce this right now. But I think we got some really big news about that Seattle trip. We're going to have somebody, perhaps a 49ers stud, come join us. Just that's a teaser, they call it in the industry, I believe. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Tickets only going to go up. I'm just telling you that once that gets announced. But that's huge. The Rams played the Cardinals. Cardinals blew the doors off. Blew the doors off.
Early.
It was like, over before early. That game started.
It was early. And that's how I don't even know if I miss that, because I don't know if we've ever experienced that with Kyle Shanahan. But that's the type of with the team that we have built, I feel like that's how we should be dominating teams offensively. You want your defense to be able to tee off and have fun and play free and not make the mistakes. We're not even talking about the pressure of the defense when the offense can't score points. The pressure is, oh, we got to get this ball back to give our offense another opportunity. And then when they make a mistake, it's like, oh, the defense sucks. Nah, the defense don't suck. The defense just needs to get the fuck off the field and get a breather. The offense got to do their job too. I don't understand why Kyle Shanahan can't find a way to get his offense into some type of a rhythm early to get his team going. Now, last year, it was like this last year, and at some point, we were the rhythm team. Like, we couldn't stop us on that first drive. I'm assuming it's just taking a little time to heat up. We are missing Christian McCaffrey. Now we're going to be missing Deebo Samuel. But at the end of the day, Kyle still has the pieces. I mean, and the game plan is simple. You feed Seymour. Like, you just give the ball to Jordan Mason. Like, at this point, You feed them, and you keep feeding. I feel like I'm on the Wu-Tang album. You feed them. You just get them the ball. Like, get them the ball. And mix it up. You
protect
like,
your neck.
Yes. Best protect your neck. You got to give Mason his touches, man. That kid is something different. And, you know, I'm not saying overuse him, but you got to feed Jordan Mason. You got to run the ball, because Brock is much more confident and comfortable when we're setting up the play action passes. If you want to take advantage of a team right now that's going to be struggling and their secondary, they can't stop the run. Here's the thing. Matter of fact, you got the game plan. I'm just telling you what I know. They can't stop the run. I can't wait till you tell me how they can't stop the run. But my point is, feed Jordan Mason at this point. That's what you got. That's what you need to lean on. And for the last thing, Kyle Shanahan, if Mason is your starting running back, just give this man the McCaffrey package, bro. Give him the full package. It's okay. If he mess up, he mess up. But get that man the package.
Let's see this
dude line up outside, split out, put a linebacker on a linebacker, and let him get the ball. I bet you he catch it. I bet it. And then I bet when he catch it, they can't tackle him.
You remember whenever, like, the critique was, and rightfully so, his pass protection was bad.
Oh,
that dude out there had back-to-back pancakes in pass pro this past week. Like, you don't – let's let him test him, and if it doesn't work, then you can pull back. But don't alter the whole offense just because 23 is not back there. But my biggest critique of Brock Purdy right now is the checkdowns have been eliminated from the offense, and that's not what I'm looking for. Like, we know the offense works. The X's and O's, Kyle Shanahan, you're top-notch. Everybody gets it. Let's go. Let's get that around, man. Jim Everett is typing out of his damn mind.
He is
I love it.
He's a diehard Rams fan. Yeah, don't call him the Lambs. He gets offended.
But, yeah, we ain't here to offend nobody. I'm here. I love, dude. Trash talk is my love language.
Yeah, like, smack talk is all on point. Everett's cool.
I want to bring this up. So we're at the Rams game, we're at the Vikings game, and stadium experience, fans incredible, the best of the best. And we had like 35% of fans there, maybe more, I don't know. But they're showing, it's like the end of the first quarter, they're showing all the scores. And, you know, the Rams, they're cheering against all the NFC North teams and whatever else. The 49ers, every time they show the score on the board about, like, you know, the Rams, they're like, yeah, everybody starts cheering the 49ers. And then they show the Cowboys score. It was the loudest part of the whole stadium on commercial break, because even the Vikings hate the Cowboys. So all the Niners fans Niners and Vikings fans went nuts. I just thought it was like hilarious. There's a universal hate.
Oh yeah,
for the Dallas Cowboys.
It is, man. That's the one thing we can all come together and sing "We Are the World" to, when it's about the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? Kumbaya, all them type of get along songs. Like, yeah.
It's what it is. Now, if you look at the Rams, they are the 32nd defense in yards allowed, 31st points allowed. Yeah, not good. They are the 27th offense. They have 9 starters currently on IR. A Cup, I don't think, is officially on IR yet, but they said he's going to be missing 4 to 6 weeks. Like, they're rough. 4 out of 5 offensive linemen are out. Ooh, worst linebacking core in the NFL. But yeah, they still have Matthew Stafford. Yes, they're still an NFL team. Yes, they have beaten Shanahan when it matters most. I understand we're going to hear that 20 times, but they're still, sorry, pardon my language, the same old sorry-ass Rams.
Yeah, we just got to be, you got to be prepared for them. I understand they got all these injuries and all this stuff, you know, but if they got a quarterback that's competent, you know, and the only way you really challenge Matthew Stafford is when you take away a quick throws and you force him to throw the ball down the field. That's what you want. That's what the Niners want. They want him to, Matthew, go ahead and try to light us up down the field. Now, he doesn't have those type of guys to light up down the field. You know, they're going to be gone. So I expect another quick throw game, and we better not get birth the next Puka Nacua from this Rams team, because that's
Jordan
what happened.
Winnington.
I already know from Texas. I know. I'm going to leave it at that. But the Niners got to be prepared. Quick throw game. Stafford's going to get the ball out of his hand quickly. If the Niners can find ways to pressure him and to take away those quick throws, Stafford's going to have to look down the field. If he looks down the field, that's where he makes the mistakes. But if it's quick game, if they use this Winnington guy, if they use Kyron Williams in the past game, it could really be a freaking long day, and the Niners don't need another long day. No. Like they need to come out here with a bang, bang, and get the job done. But I'm very confident that they will. I will say that.
I like it, too. So real quick, as we wrap this show up, man, can you give us a NFC West 1 through 4 power rankings off the top of your head, what you feel? Start at 4. Who's last place? 3, 2, 1. What would you say? NFC West power rankings at this point by the Wayne Breezy.
Yeah, I mean, 4 would be the Rams. They're 0-2, right?
Yeah, they're 0-2.
Seahawks are 2-0, so they'll be 1 just from record standpoint. I got the Niners at 3 and the Cardinals at 2. That's just the way I see it. Like, the Cardinals look like
a division win.
They got a division win.
And what you just said is the actual official standings.
Okay, cool.
You're in agreement there.
Yeah, what it is.
You got to win those division games, and I say this all the time. Like, division games are times 2. Division games are everything. You win your division, you're in the race.
Playoffs. Yeah,
that's every single team's spot. Number one goal. Mm-hmm. Win the division. That starts this week. It's a road game, but it's a home game. It's Levi's. Their fans don't show up. Don't even know what a Rams fan looks like in the wild. Lived in L.A. for the past 6 years. Never saw them. They just don't exist. So you guys are the best. I know it's been a rough week kind of talking through this stuff, but we got to take our medicine. We got to learn, and we move forward and understand these things. Wayne, can't say thank you enough. Make sure you check out the Wayne Breezy anywhere you listen. Wayne, any closing remarks? You want to take us out, man?
Hey, man, look, stay faithful. Got to find a way. Remain faithful. Keep it faithful. Things are going to look on the up and up. I know we're faced with adversity, but when have we not overcome adversity as the San Francisco 49ers? So I'm asking the faithful to just remain faithful in the situations. And look, I will say this, Jim. Every time I go to SoFi, we win. Now, I haven't been there in a minute, so I'm going to leave it at that. Don't let me come out there, because if I come out there, we win it. I can tell you that right now. If I got to suit up my damn self, I could give him 3 plays. I give him a series. Love y'all, man. Stay faithful. We out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated.
CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.